Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Jamie Bologna. We're going to turn now to politics, because Tuesday is primary day here in Massachusetts, so don't forget to get out there and vote. But as the election season truly heats up, like the temperatures outside, so have the political campaign ads, with some of the most aggressive attack ads coming from the Democratic primary race for the Secretary of State between incumbent Bill Galvin and challenger Josh Zakim.
Zakim failed to vote in 15 elections, even skipping John Kerry for president and Deval Patrick for governor. No show Zakim. He doesn't bother to vote. Let's not vote for him.
Bill Galvin says he hates the word progressive, and his record proves why. For nearly 40 years in office, he's betrayed our core values. But on September 4th, we have a choice, even if Bill Galvin doesn't respect ours.
That first clip you heard was from the Bill Galvin Committee, and the second from the Committee to Elect Josh Zakim. Well, here with me now to break down and to round up these political ads for this election season is John Carroll. He's WBUR senior news analyst and a professor of journalism at BU. John, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So this is a Secretary of State's race, an important office, no doubt, especially with the security of elections in question. But it's a race between two liberal Democrats. So why are we seeing such a negative tone in this race?
Well, I think, you know, Bill Galvin has been in office for 24 years as Secretary of State. So he's fairly well entrenched. He's not used to this kind of challenge. Josh Zakim came out of the Boston City Council, and he's been really aggressive in terms of portraying Galvin as somebody who doesn't really have the progressive values mm-hmm. that Zakim brings. So, by the way, the Galvin ad is actually inaccurate. Josh Zakim didn't vote in 16 elections, not 15, according to Milton Valencia of the Boston Globe. So mm-hmm. he's gone after him on that, saying it's somebody who is going to be controlling the voting in Massachusetts who doesn't vote. That's kind of hypocritical. Josh Zakim says, basically, the progressive values that I bring, Bill Galvin lacks.
Right, and Zakim is going so far as to dig up Galvin's voting record when he was a state legislator back in the early 80s. This is something that came up in WBUR debate last week. And of course, again, this charge that Zakim hasn't voted in all of these elections. John, from a political strategy perspective, is it wise to dig so far back into someone's record for the campaigning?
Well, I think he's grasping at straws to some degree. And these are issues. He's talking about abortion votes. He's talking about death penalty votes that Galvin says were technical votes. But anyway, those things have nothing to do with the Massachusetts Secretary of State office. So Zakim is sort of going pretty far afield for that. One of the interesting things is, and it happens often, with a progressive challenger, basically the whole race moves to the left. So Bill Galvin has adopted a number of the things that Josh Zakim has accused him of dragging his feet on. Same-day voter registration, automatic voter registration, ranked choice voting, those kinds of things. So whoever wins this race, you're going to have a candidate who is further to the left than what Bill Galvin was when this race started out.
So, John, you're a former ad man as well.
Reformed ad man, I like to say.
Okay. Recovering. But, you know, politicians always say that they dislike attack ads. What's the play here in Galvin Zakim in terms of getting voters' attention?
Well, it's interesting because people say they don't like attack ads, but attack ads work. And they're the ones that stick because, you know, when you have a positive ad and there's dogs and flags and kids and ice cream, you know, that doesn't really have very much impact. But an attack ad, just by human nature, tends to stick more.
So it worked for Reagan with Morning in America.
Well, that was a whole different issue.
Okay.
And I think that more often than not, negative ads are going to be more effective, and that's why people use them.
Okay, I want to move on to the Republican primary for the U.S. Senate. The three candidates running to challenge incumbent Senator Elizabeth Warren. We've got State Representative Jeff Deal, longtime GOP activist Beth Lindstrom, and Winchester businessman John Kingston. How are they distinguishing themselves in their ads?
Well, one of the things is Kingston is running $2 million worth of television ads. You know, that's way beyond what Deal and Lindstrom can afford. They're on radio. He's all over television. So I think that that's one of the issues. The other is that Kingston is running a general election campaign. He's completely ignoring Deal and Lindstrom and going after Elizabeth Warren.
And actually, we have some of a Kingston ad here. It's called Fenway. He's going after Elizabeth Warren. There's an actress who, you know, there's a shot of Elizabeth Warren played by an actress from behind, and she's loading up a Prius, and he goes directly after her. Let's listen.
Elizabeth Warren is done being our senator. She's already running for president. Like too many Massachusetts politicians, she'd rather skip to Fenway Franks and instead eat Iowa corn dogs. I'm political outsider John Kingston. I'm running for Senate to go to bat for you.
And then you also mentioned Jeff Deal's radio ad. Since we have a little bit from him, he's attacking Warren for being too radical a politician for the state.
Right.
Warning.
Elizabeth Warren supports abolishing ICE and making Massachusetts a sanctuary state.
So what do you make of these two ads? One's a little maybe humorous with this Prius image, then literally warning bells.
Yeah, pretty funny ad. And he throws away the corn dog at the end. He's eating a Fenway Frank. So that's the punchline for him. I think that the messages that they have are completely different. John Kingston is saying, look, I'll work with anybody if the objective is right and if the goal is right, to lower taxes, to pass term limits. So he's essentially looking to more to the center. Jeff Deal is an ultra-conservative, very much in the Trump camp. He's had Herman Cain, Sean Spicer, Paul LePage, the Maine governor, come down and endorse him and do events for him. So I think he's staking out a position much further to the right than Kingston is.
But isn't that what you have to do? I mean, it's a Republican primary, and this is the party of Trump.
Traditionally, that's what's going to happen. But this is Massachusetts as well. So, you know, you've got opportunity for independents to take either ballot if they want, a Democratic ballot or a Republican ballot. So it may be that Kingston is looking to lure some of them over to the Republican primary and try to capitalize on that.
So let's also talk about Beth Lindstrom. She's got a radio ad out, and you can hear a man at a diner ask his waitress to break down the Republican candidates for senator. She spends two-thirds of the ad sort of attacking the other two opponents and then ends the ad talking about herself as the best option in the race.
There is a better option, Beth Lindstrom. Beth Lindstrom is a small business owner who understands the economy. Beth Lindstrom is opposed to sanctuary cities. Beth Lindstrom also supports term limits.
Wow, Beth Lindstrom could actually beat Senator Elizabeth Warren. She's got my vote.
Now, how about a refill on that coffee?
So your take on the strategy here?
Well, I think it's a smart strategy, actually. What she's saying is that she's not a politician. She has a background in government. She was an aide to Mitt Romney. She was his consumer affairs secretary. She ran Scott Brown's 2010 Senate campaign. Mm-hmm. What she's saying is, look, it takes a strong woman to beat Elizabeth Warren, and I am that person. And she has another radio ad that talks about how Warren is abrasive, Beth Lindstrom plays well with others, and so, you know, she's the one who can go and get things done down in Washington. So I think she's sort of got conservative positions, but basically she's trying to position herself as the most moderate, most reasonable choice in the race.
Right. I do want to go back to Jeff Deal for a second here because he has a television spot that features Maureen Maloney. She's a mother who lost her son, Matthew, when he was killed by someone who was in the country illegally. And by the way, Meghna Chakrabarty has interviewed Maureen and her husband on Radio Boston. You can find a link to that interview on our website, radioboston.org. But I just want to listen to a little bit of that Deal ad.
My son, Matthew Denise, was 23 years old. He was kind, caring, outgoing. He was more than I could ever have hoped for in a son. My son was killed by someone who should never have been in the country.
So this is a powerful emotional open. Of course, the ad goes on to cite murder statistics by those in the country illegally. Not only are those stats unsupported by the data, two recent studies have found immigrants in the country illegally are significantly less likely to commit crimes overall. John, just comparing that, though, to the Beth Lindstrom ad, I mean, that's powerful.
It's powerful. I believe it's on the web. I'm not sure that he's run that actually on television.
Okay.
But regardless, I mean, these things can tend to go viral. I think that the Globe tried to get some substantiation for these numbers that this video put out. And what they got back was just a mishmash. I think it's almost entirely unsupported. And I think that what he's trying to do is reach for the Trump wing in a very serious way with an issue that has worked for Trump over and over and over again.
So I also want to touch in, I know we're rapidly running out of time, on the 7th Congressional District. It's the race between incumbent Congressman Mike Capuano and Boston City Councilor Ayanna Pressley. This has been a very tough reelection fight for Capuano. But as far as campaign ads go, is he outspending Pressley?
By far, he spent about $400,000 reportedly on television advertising. He's got
Wow.
two of them out there, and there's a realtors group that has spent $300,000 for Capuano, mostly on online ads, polling, and direct mail. So that's a lot of money arrayed against Ayanna Pressley's really modest budget. She's got a Spanish language ad running on Univision and Telemundo, and she's got some web videos, but basically she's kind of unarmed here.
Yeah, so actually we have both of those ads that you referenced. I first want to hear the Capuano ad from the Realtors Association.
From Chelsea to Randolph, Boston, and in between,
Mike Capuano is looking out for Massachusetts realtors and homeowners.
So what's your read on this ad? I mean, it's being paid for by an outside group.
Right. And I think that there's a lot of vested interest in this. You know, part of it is in FHA regulations. Part of it is in mortgage lending and refinancing of homes. So I think it's Capuano has been on their side in those kinds of issues.
At the same time, you mentioned that Telemundo Univision ad that Ayanna Pressley has. Let's hear a little bit of that.
Ayanna Pressley ha pasado su vida en lugares que los políticos raramente visitan.
Como concejal en Boston, ha sido una líder que nos entiende.
Of course, the translation is Ayanna Pressley has spent her life in places where politicians rarely visit. As a counselor, she's been a leader who understands us. I mean, smart move by Pressley?
I think so. If she's going to win this primary race, she needs to turn out millennials and voters of color. And I think that that's where she's going with this ad. And turnout's going to be everything in this race.
So one last question. I know we're out of time here, John. Professor Carroll, thank you for doing this. As we enter the final stretch of this primary campaign, are these type of ads, television, radio, traditional ad buys, still effective in the age of social media?
They're not as effective as they used to be. They're never entirely effective. Boots on the ground is always going to be more effective than advertising.
Well, that's John Carroll. He's WBUR senior news analyst and a professor of journalism at Boston University. It's great to have you in here, John. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jamie.
We'll be back in just about 90 seconds here. I'm Jamie Bologna, and this is WBUR's Radio Boston.